You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 10, Episode 3 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the enduring Word of God. Let's get started. As we continue this series, we're looking at 1 Peter and lessons that are found in it. And as we've talked about, this is all centered around the true grace of God. As he talked about in 1 Peter 5 and verse 12, this is what he wrote about. This true grace of God, not as the world defines it, but as Peter, the apostle of Christ, defined it. So in this third lesson, we're going to look at the Word of God, which is certainly part of God's grace. Acts 20:24, Paul described the gospel as the gospel of the grace of God. So we're going to see how this fits in with the true grace of God. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, on down through chapter 2 and verse 3 in this lesson today. Verse 22 of chapter 1, Peter says, "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." As we talked about last week and also in the first lesson, in discussing the true grace of God, Peter talks about obedience, but not as the world talks about obedience. He does not pit grace and obedience against one another. He does not say that obedience is unnecessary. He also does not say that obedience, by obeying the Lord, we are trying to earn our salvation. As we have already seen in the two lessons leading up to this one, Peter emphasized obedience. Verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Verse 14, he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. We are expected to obey the Lord. And he says here in verse 22, in obedience to the truth being the Word of God, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Notice what he says happens here, that in obedience to the truth, you have purified your souls. This is similar to what he said over in Acts chapter 15 and verse 9, when there is a discussion in Jerusalem about whether or not Gentiles, as they were obeying the gospel and being added to the church, did they have to keep the law of Moses, or were they free from that? And Peter in Acts 15 and verse 9 says that their hearts were purified by faith. So a similar phrase, but a little bit different. But we see how they're related. We purify our souls by obedience to the truth. We purify our hearts by faith. Well, faith, Romans 10:17 tells us, comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, if faith, which comes from the Word of God, leads to us purifying our hearts, and by obeying the truth, we purify our souls. What that means is, when we put all of those together, is that faith, as the Bible defines it, is an obedient faith. It's not just a belief in the existence of God or a belief in the fact of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Faith, as the Bible defines it, is an obedient faith. And so as we obey the truth, we purify our souls, and we purify our souls, as Peter says, for a sincere love of the brethren. The word sincere, or unfeigned, as the King James says, means without hypocrisy. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 9 that our love is to be without hypocrisy. We are to fervently love one another from the heart. Obeying the truth will lead us to do that. Well, then he goes on and talks about the seed by which we are born again. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Peter mentioned earlier in this letter, in verse 3 of chapter 1, how we are born again. And to be born again, it means that one is born of water and the Spirit, John 3, verses 3 and 5. That he is baptized into Christ and then raised to walk in newness of life in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. So he's talking about we are born again. We are baptized into Christ, born again to a living hope, born again of seed which is imperishable. This is how we can be born again. And he explains this seed that leads us to be born again is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed that is planted that leads us to be born again. Romans 1 verse 16 tells us that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And this gospel was the message that was to be preached in all creation, Mark 16, 15. Well, how would people respond when this gospel, this message of salvation was preached? Jesus told his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. When the gospel was first preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and Peter here on that occasion was preaching, and they asked him, what do we need to do? He said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 41 says, those who received his word were baptized. Later here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, he says there that baptism now saves you. Well, why? Why could Peter say baptism now saves you? It's because baptism is the proper response to the gospel. That's what Jesus said people would do when the gospel is preached and they believe it, they're going to be baptized, Mark 16, 15, and 16. When Paul recognized his sin and recognized Jesus was Lord, he was told in Acts 22, 16, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. He didn't have his sins washed away before that point. Despite the fact that he was penitent, despite the fact that he was praying and fasting, his sins had not been forgiven. He had to be baptized into Christ to have his sins forgiven. So what this means is, if we or if anyone else, but if we teach a message that does not call people to obey the Lord and be baptized, then we are teaching a message that is perishable, using the language in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, born again, not of seed, which is perishable. We're not preaching the imperishable message that we are to be preaching, the imperishable message that is the power of God for salvation. What we're doing is preaching a different gospel, as Paul warned about in Galatians chapter 1. There are some who changed the gospel, making it a different gospel. So if we or others are teaching a message that does not call people to obey the Lord and be baptized into Christ, they are teaching a different gospel. They are not teaching the imperishable message by which we are born again. So this seed that we are born again by, this seed, Peter described it as the living and enduring Word of God. And he goes on and says in verse 24, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. God's word is not something that will become outdated or will someday be lost to time. God's word is living. It is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, as Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says. It is just as relevant today as it was when it was written. It is living. It will endure forever, as Psalm 119, 89 says. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled or fixed in heaven. Contrast that with the temporary things of this life, as Peter quotes from Isaiah 40, where he says, all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All of the things around us are temporary. All the things around us will one day be lost, will one day be destroyed. The word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word, he says, that was preached to you in 1 Peter 1:25. This is the word that was preached to you. This is the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20 and verse 24 says. The fact that the word of God is enduring, it's the living and enduring word of God, the fact that it has those characteristics is part of the grace of God. The reason for that is this. Man is always in need of salvation. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of that, that we will always need the gospel, the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16. There will never come a time when we need something other than the gospel for this. And so the fact that the Word of God is living and enduring is part of the grace of God, because that message is always there. The message is unchanging, that we can follow that. By that, we can be born again. But then as we continue in the context, and in your Bibles, there's a chapter break here, but really as we go into chapter 2, Peter's talking about the same idea. The theme is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed by which we are born again. The Word of God is living and enduring. But then he goes on and talks about the fact that the Word has been given so that we may grow. Chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Not only are we expected to obey the truth, as we began this episode, in obedience to the truth, verse 22, not only are we expected to obey the truth, but we are expected to grow in the truth. He would say in his second letter, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are expected to grow. Just as an infant, as Peter used this as an illustration, just as an infant is expected to grow, we are to grow in Christ. Well, how do we grow? Well, he mentions a few things here. Number one, we grow by putting aside sin. Now, certain ones that he mentions here, that you put aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. We cannot continue to live in this way. We cannot continue to live as we once lived. As we talked about last week, verse 14, he says in chapter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. In chapter 4 and verse 2, he says that so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We are expected to stop living as we did in the world. We are expected to follow the Lord, be obedient to the truth. So how do we grow in this? We put aside sin. We also, as he says, desire or long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Not only does this mean long for the Word of God, that's true, that's part of this, but it doesn't just say long for the Word of God or desire the Word of God. He says long for the pure milk of the Word, the Word of God that is not mixed with anything else, not mixed with human opinions, not mixed with creeds, not mixed with other ideas that people have. The pure milk of the Word. Principles stated in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. That we are not to add to or take away from the Word of God. We are not to add to this Word that is living and enduring forever. We are not to add to it. We're not to take things away from it. We are to keep the Word pure, and we are to long for that pure milk of the Word. But then related to this, though it's not mentioned here by Peter, but over in Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we saw Peter talk about the pure milk of the Word, that we can grow by that. The Hebrew writer used the same illustration, but he talks about the fact that we are to move beyond this. As an infant needs milk, but then the infant grows and no longer needs milk alone, he needs solid food. Well, the same thing is true as we grow in Christ. We are to put the Word of God into practice, and the Hebrew writer mentions this. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We grow, we discern good and evil, no longer partaking only of milk, as verse 13 says, but have that solid food. Put the Word of God into practice. So how do we grow? We put aside sin, we desire the pure milk of the Word, We put that word into practice. And then the final point that Peter makes here as we wrap up this lesson, chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. When he says if, he's using that in the sense of since, kind of like Paul does in Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you have been raised up with Christ, well, he's writing to Christians. They had been raised up to Christ. His point is that since this has happened, then you are to do this. Peter's making the same point. Since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, since you have obeyed the gospel, you recognize the blessings of God, you've been forgiven of your sins, all these things have happened. You've tasted the kindness of the Lord. We recognize the fact that God is gracious to us. We need to, as Romans 11 verse 22 says, continue in his kindness. So by the grace of God, he has offered salvation to us. And he has shown us in his word how to receive that grace so that we can be saved. This is the word that was preached to you, Peter said, and this is the same word that is preached today. The same word that people need to hear today. The same message that we all need to follow today. And as long as the earth stands, people need this message. We need this message. And we need to follow it. And so we think about the living and enduring word of God. We have been blessed by the fact that God's word endures forever. We can follow his word so that we can be saved by him in the end.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
The lessons in this season are based upon a sermon series that I'm presenting at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. And if you would like to hear this sermon, this one was preached a few weeks ago, but if you would like to hear that sermon, it's available on the church's website. It goes into a little bit more detail than what we talked about here in the podcast. But the link is available in the show notes, so you can check that out if you want to hear the audio from the sermon. Also, last week, we sent out a free PDF to subscribers containing our recent series of articles, Great Days in History, outlining the scheme of redemption. That was sent out to subscribers. You can still receive that if you're not a subscriber by going to the website and signing up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. And once you confirm your subscription, then you will receive the PDF, Great Days in History. You can sign up at plainbibleteaching.com/subscribe. Then you get the weekly newsletters and also the Great Days in History series and then other free bonuses that we send out usually once a month or so. But you have access to those as well as a subscriber. Next week, we're going to be continuing the series and talking about living stones. Until then, I hope you have a great week.